Hello and welcome to another episode of Embrace Your Ambition, and I'm your host, Beverly Bramwell.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, all three engines up and burning, 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Embrace Your Ambition. Ambition is not a bad thing. It's okay to have dreams and goals and go after them. Embrace your ambition. Hello, I'm Beverly Bramwell and I help people with their confidence who are stuck and want to make changes so they can achieve the results they want in their lives and their careers. Tonight we have a very special episode because I have a guest, Emma Case from Start Where You Are. And we're going to be talking about radical self-acceptance. And I'm hoping by the power of technology that Emma can hear me. Hello. Hello, Emma. Hello. Ooh. Hello, Emma.
Hello, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can now, brilliantly, yes.
Can you hear me?
I certainly can. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, nothing's changed, yes.
Brilliant.
Oh, no. Okay.
We are live. Welcome.
We are live. You can hear me. Wonderful.
Certainly can, yes. Power of technology. Welcome to tonight, yeah. And thank you, Emma, for doing this. So,
oh,
Emma.
That's a pleasure.
Tell me all about yourself. Who are you?
Okay, so from the very top, I have had quite an interesting career to date. So I started my career working in the fashion industry. And it's most certainly, if you think about The Devil Wears Prada, I always kind of liken it to that because there are so many very, very, very similar aspects to it. So I worked in a hugely competitive industry of fashion. And in that time, as you can imagine, in that time, I had to learn. Well, I learned so much about myself, about other people, specifically about other women. So I have worked in this industry and I got to a point in my career. So I went from working on the shop floor while I was a student and then finished my career on the design team at a luxury fashion brand. I got to the point in my career where I knew that it was time for me to do something different. And I almost instinctively knew what that thing was. So I knew that I was going to be helping other people, specifically helping other women. So I'd had this climb from the very bottom to the top. And in many ways, as much as it was quite competitive, I still found it relatively easy to make that climb. But once I got there, it was quite different to what I'd expected. So fast forward till now, I retrained and I did some training and did some qualifications and lots of different things. And I realized that my natural talent and my natural flair was in supporting people and supporting women in particular. So where I am now is that I work with women who, like me 3-4 years ago, want to get out of the 9-to-5 and want to do something that they can really put their heart and soul into, really enjoy, and more than anything, to have the freedom to do whatever it is that they want to do. Now, the one thing that I do in working with the women is I really like to put an emphasis on not doing it perfectly. Not doing it perfectly, taking imperfect action, and really just embracing who it is that you are. Because I honestly believe that we have got ourselves into a situation where we no longer know who we are because we're so busy wearing the mask. So I am the person you want to work with if you want to get out of 9-to-5, if you want to create something else, but if you want to do it absolutely, unapologetically as who you are. So that's who I am, and that is what I do.
Thank you very much, Emma. So I want to dig into the fact that we're talking about radical self-acceptance, because you said you worked in fashion, and then you said it was competitive. So how did you manage to stay afloat with all this competition from other women?
Well, I think something that was very helpful to me was, and I often ask myself this question, because I know I have a hell of a lot of friends who work in the industry, still do work in the industry, and there are lots of stories about the different things that happen that aren't always very pleasant. But personally, for me, I do have those horror stories as well, but I equally have wonderful stories. But I believe the thing that kept me on the straight and narrow, so to speak, is that I always, from a very young age, had a very strong sense of self. I partially put this down to being surrounded by quite strong women. Could also put it down to the fact that I'm the oldest child of three, so I'm a natural leader. So it's just, I believe it was because I made a very early decision in my career that I wasn't going to be swayed and I was going to continue who I was.
Wow, gosh. So with this strong sense of self, and this industry, did you not manage to convert any of the women that you were there working with about how they could be less competitive and more accepting of themselves?
Well, I think one of the things is that that everybody within that industry, I don't believe that you succeed in fashion, and I use the term succeed loosely, but get ahead in the fashion industry without being a very strong person anyway. It isn't an industry for the meek or the mild or the, you know, the weak. It's an industry that is full of women and men who really know who they are and what they want. And there are instances where, well, what I witnessed was that sometimes people, we become like our environment, and we do that sometimes to survive, or we do that to get ahead. I witnessed that on many occasions, but I never felt the need to kind of convert anyone. I never felt the need, because I really respect the fact that we all have our own path. We all have our own agenda, so to speak. And it's just that simple.
Okay. So working in fashion was a long-held ambition, yes?
Yes. From about the age of 10.
Wow. Okay. So at what point did you decide, now that I'm here, I've done what I want to do, yeah, I think we've done enough now? How did that come about?
Well, I think what happened was, I mean, what I will say is I had a wonderful time working in fashion, and some experiences, dream experiences, things that I, you know, I never imagined that I'd get, you know, have the opportunity to be involved in, working with, you know, the different, you know, the trips that I've been on, the free samples and the shows and all those, you know, all those wonderful things. But I think, as with anything, we change. I chose fashion at a very young age. And as I changed, as I developed into, you know, the woman that I am now, my needs changed as well. And I think as much as I still love fashion, because it is my first love, as much as I love fashion, I couldn't ignore that inner kind of pulling to listen to what it was that I really needed. So it started to become about what I needed rather than what I wanted. And what I needed was autonomy. What I needed was to be able to work in a way that suited me rather than me fitting in with the way that work was.
Okay, tell us a bit more about that.
Where do I start? Okay, so the need for autonomy. So, for example, I believe we all work in our own different style, and there's definitely the norm, a normal way of working, and lots of people fit into that, and lots of people can adapt to that. But that has always been something that I struggled with, being able to fit into the correct way of working. So whether that is working between, you know, 9 to 5, And think, even thinking practically about, you know, when do I make my doctor's appointment? Or, you know, I can't take a holiday between that period and that period. Well, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to choose when I take my holiday. I also want to choose who I work with and when I work. I wanted to have more freedom, and I knew that it was possible because I'd seen other people doing it. So it was about wanting some kind of freedom, but I knew from a very early stage that my second career would be helping women in some capacity.
Brilliant. I just have to do a quick name check here. I'm Beverly Bramwell, and you're listening to Embrace Your Ambition. If you're in the United States and you'd like to call in, our studio number is 323-642-1155. 323-642-1155. If you're outside of the US and just want to contact us, please send me a message via Facebook, either via my page, Beverly Bramwell, or using Facebook Messenger. And my name again is Beverly Bramwell. Emma,
yeah.
You've talked about perfectionism. And you've told me, and it says, and it's in the copy that you've written as well, that you're a self-confessed recovering perfectionist. Tell us about that.
Yes. Okay. So this is really about me being transparent and kind of owning up to who I am and to what I'm experiencing. Now, I honestly believe that there is a perfectionist within everybody. And I don't believe that the perfectionism itself is a problem if you know that it's there. If you don't know that it's there, it will rule your life. It will stop you from doing the things that you want. It will make you second guess yourself. It will make you embarrassed of yourself. It will make you believe that what you're doing isn't right and that other people are right. And so for me, I know that there is always going to be a little glimmer of perfectionism within me, but because I know that, I'm aware of it and I can see it and I know what the signs are when I start to fall into perfectionism, I can stop myself. There was a time, and I laugh about it, because there was a time when I'd go into a real downward spiral. And I think being able to acknowledge that and to recognize those little signs at the early stage stops me from going into a full-on perfectionist, you know, a perfectionist situation. And I think how this really helps me and how it helps my clients is that I'm walking the talk. Mm-hmm. I've been there. I'm there on a day-to-day basis, which I believe really helps my clients to connect with me.
I understand about the perfectionist, because I won't say that I am one, but I certainly have been one in the past. Maybe not all the time, but I know there were moments when I felt things had to be just so, but at some point in time I realized that they didn't have to be just so, and life wouldn't stop if they weren't just
absolutely
so. But you have to recognize that in yourself and what you're doing and how that may be impacting on your life. But yeah, I would say when
definitely,
I was younger,
yeah,
definitely that
I'd also like to add on this, though, is that, again, I can't put it down 100% to the industry that I've worked in, but getting things right is definitely something. There is not often a lot of room for maneuver in the corporate world, because there are always going to be procedures and there are ways of doing things. There are rules and regulations. Now, one of the things that I really have acknowledged, and something that has helped me, well, the reason why I've had to kind of really shift the way that I do things is because the reality is that there is no room for perfectionism in business. There isn't any. So business is a creative process where you are continually having to try. And there is a lot of failure, so to speak. And you have to keep picking yourself up. So if I was to be overly precious about trying this or trying that, I would never have got to my second year in business, because believe you me, and you know yourself, Beverly, it's trial and error. Some things are trial and error.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think that if you get too caught up in this, am I getting it right? I've got to get it right. It's got to look like this. Gosh, you can miss out on so much. And also, so what if you fall on your backside? You get, as I said, you get back up again.
Absolutely. I'm in total agreement. And I think the other reason why my whole message is around taking imperfect action and not being caught up in the perfectionism is that as somebody who works in, you know, a majority of my is on social media, we are a generation of women who are just bombarded with images of perfection.
Mm.
It's really quite a challenge to kind of take note of what you're seeing and still understand that these are carefully curated images and it isn't real. It's not because it isn't possible 100% of the time. And this is, again, why I push that message, because if you want to go far in your business, or if you want to create something, with, you know, innovation, you've got to fail.
Mm.
You're going to fail, and you've got to be okay with that.
I also do believe this whole idea of getting it right and being perfect is learned behavior, because if you've ever watched a small child when they first learn to walk, there is nothing graceful about it. And they fall down and they laugh. And the other side of it, if you watch them trying to get onto the sofa, there is no sort of climbing onto a ladder. They all haul themselves up there any way they can. And then they're upright, yeah. And then they laugh and they get down. But there is no sort of, I have to get it right. All the things are, how do I get up there? Or how do I get down?
Absolutely. And it isn't about being... isn't about being graceful.
No.
And just going back to what you said about behavior, I talked like, and we were, somebody asked one of the ladies on the panel about, and towards the end, she made a comment and she said, the problem is that women are not allowed to fail. So she recognized that there is a pressure and, is it a pressure that we put on ourselves? Is it a pressure that we put on each other? Is it a pressure? Where is this pressure coming from? Just by continuing the facade of being perfect, does the person, the other, everyone else can drop their mask? What is it? You know, is it it's almost a chicken type scenario, which is why I have to be conscious. And I'm, again, you know, I say I'm not perfect at this, but I do feel a sense of responsibility to the women that work with me or reach out to me, or all those that are within my community, to be as honest or as transparent as possible. Because the reality is that we are all a work in progress. Yes, I've come as far as I have, and I'll continue developing and improving. But if we talk just quickly about this whole concept of radical self-acceptance,
don't worry, I was getting there.
Okay, I'll hold it. I'm just getting so excited. This is what I'm so passionate about. But if we can just understand that what we are seeing, especially out there on social media, it is a curated, marketed image. And that we have to take it with a huge pinch of salt.
Yeah, social media, great invention, but it's a blessing and a curse in the same breath, because so many people, male and female, are looking at social media and thinking, this is how my life should look. And they look at their friend who is apparently having this wonderful life, and they believe that that's the case. Why aren't I having a wonderful life? Because my life isn't like theirs. And they see the pictures and they read the text and they think, well, gosh, there's something wrong with me. Hence depression, hence feeling like I'm less than. And whether it's Facebook, Instagram, it doesn't really matter. They're all medium and, you know, photographs and that whole process. And we do get so caught up in that whole place of, this is how it should be, and there's a lot of shoulding. I use that word should quite clearly here. That this is how my life should be, and my life's not like that. This person is going here, I'm not going there. I don't know if any of it's even true. And in our industry, it's even worse. You know, there are so many people who are allegedly making six figures. You know, they fell out of bed, they made a call, they posted one thing on Facebook and, oh, look, all of a sudden I'd made six figures. You and I both know that if it were that simple to get out of bed, put one post on Facebook and all of a sudden you had this torrent of clients queuing up to work with you, you were making six figures, we'd all be doing it. We'd all be rolling out of bed and posting one thing on Facebook. So it's all part of that whole thing. But we have started, you know, we have this new medium called social media, and we have started to believe it.
Well, I'm, be honest, I really think it's about self-regulation, because I have to say, as somebody who is running an online business, 80% of my business comes from through my Facebook and my Facebook page, my Facebook group, and various other channels. So I'm incredibly grateful and happy to be able to have this medium, this thing that allows me to sit at my desk in, you know, in my house, in the warmth, and be able to connect with people and have these conversations. But again, I think it's about self-regulating, and to really break it down, it's about, you know, it's like a conversation that I had in my Facebook group today. It's about having regular digital detoxes and thinking about how the information that you're consuming is on you, because it's really actually, it's very interesting, because you can be at a point where you're thinking, oh, goodness me, this is really brilliant, really wonderful information. I'm going to sign up for the webinar. I'm going to get this free thing if I give my email address. And before you know it, you know, you're getting newsletters every week from this person. You're not opening them. You've started following them. You're getting all these notifications. And actually, it can either end up being white noise, or it can almost be the bane of your life, because you're seeing these images and you're so, you know, you might be a million miles away from what it is that they're promoting. And it just doesn't, it isn't inspirational. It doesn't feel inspiring.
No, but we're still swallowing the Kool-Aid, for want of a better phrase, and thinking this is how it should be, which brings me quite nicely around to this whole idea of the radical self-acceptance. Because unless I'm comfortable with who I am, I will be bombarded and I'll accept every person that says, I've got the message, I've got the key, I've got the secret, follow me. I've got the secret, follow me. I've got the secret, follow me.
What I will say before I really get into, before I talk about radical self-acceptance, is that this is a concept, or this concept was something that I'd heard about and read about a long time ago, but it was something that just felt so alien to me. Now, the reason why I revisited radical self-acceptance at the beginning of this year was because I knew that I needed to find a new way of doing, of being, of showing up in the world and in my business. I knew that it was time for me to strip back a few layers and to just kind of, I want to say drop the mask, but I think just be out there a little bit more as me, as Emma, really as Emma, using my own voice. And so this concept of radical self-acceptance, so I'd heard of, you know, we all know about self-compassion, but this goes one step further. So it really is about accepting yourself 100%. Now, what I want to say about that is it does not mean that you're not going to continue developing yourself and learning different things. But what it does mean is that along that route to development, if that is what you wish to do, you still accept yourself. You still accept yourself now. You're not waiting to be a better version of you to be happy or feel good about yourself. Now, how radical self-acceptance has really helped me and would help other people is that in radically self-accepting yourself, you free yourself. You lighten the load. You stop making yourself wrong, and you stop making other people right and responsible for you. And I honestly can't think of a better way to be.
I get it, and I totally agree with you. But for somebody who's just hearing this for the first time, how do they do it?
Well, again, in the name of transparency, I don't have this fully down. But what I am saying is the alternative is shame, blame, it's anger, it's resentment, it's holding yourself back, it's playing small, it's comparison. Now, if that is the alternative, that is my other choice, then I will get on board with the other thing that makes me feel good about myself.
Mm.
Really is about understanding that actually you are okay. We're all okay. Again, you can be improving. You can do all those different things, but it comes from a very different place. It comes from a place of, you want to go over and I want to learn that thing, but you're not doing it out of desperation or out of rejection for yourself. You're doing it, but may well see a gap within your learning or your understanding, or, you know, wanting to, I don't know, improve or increase a level of consciousness, but you're not making in the here and now, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Okay, but for a lot of people, the comparisonitis, the perfectionism, the beating ourselves up that we're not perfect, I'm not the right shape, height, build, whatever it is the thing that you're giving yourself a hard time over. How, and I know you can't tell us how because it's part of that growth thing, but nevertheless, so, what... I don't know if it's a tip or just something to get me started on this road.
Beverly, can I say the line cut out there? Would you mind repeating what you said?
All right, okay. Breaking up here on the line. The difficulty is that we are caught up in comparisonitis, perfectionism, getting it right. And I've been on that treadmill for so long, and I'm talking hypothetically here. If I've been on that treadmill for so long of this is how I'm being, how do I get off? What's the one thing I could do right now then that makes it, you know, to start?
The very first thing is a digital detox. It's to purge yourself of all of those perfect images, to step away from it, because it's a little bit like continually swallowing poison and then not understanding why you're feeling sick. You're poisoning yourself with watching. Stop poisoning yourself. It isn't making you feel good. How are you feeling in your gut when you're seeing those images? They're not making you feel good deep into your gut. Stop consuming. So that is the very first thing I would say. Stop mindlessly consuming. That's the thing. Don't mindlessly consume other people's content.
Okay, I'm going to make a suggestion here, Emma, because I think we're breaking up. Can I ask you to hang up and redial? And I'm going to keep chatting until you come back on again. Is that okay?
Perfect. Yes, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Right, whilst Emma's redialing, I'll just give you a reminder, the studio number, 323-642-1155. And I'm Beverly Bramwell, and you're listening to Embrace Your Ambition. If you'd like to connect with me now or after the show, come to my Facebook group, Embrace Your Ambition, and you can send me a message via Facebook, whether through my Facebook page, Beverly Bramwell, or through the old-fashioned Facebook Messenger, and just look for me, and my name's Beverly Bramwell, and you can call the show. But please do, if you feel called to ask a question or to offer up some feedback about what you're hearing, now would be a great time to do so. I said I'm waiting for Emma to come back, so that's why I'm chatting away and my guest isn't here. But Emma will be back. Her name is Emma Case, and her company is called Start Where You Are. And we've just started this conversation about radical self-accept conversation. Aha, I see Emma appearing. Give me a second. Hello.
Hello, Beverly.
Brilliant. Hi. Right. Okay. I was just saying, we just started this conversation about radical self-acceptance. And I was about to explain how we started having this conversation because we were online, as often people are, and we were back and forth about what we were seeing happening around us. And I was talking about people having to accept themselves because I'd just been writing about this whole idea of self-acceptance. But you took it for me to be a whole other place of this radical self-acceptance. And I was like, whoa, that is like even bigger than what I was thinking about. But also what I found interesting was that you mentioned, and I'm going to call you on this, you mentioned about this be authentic rubbish. So I'm sorry, we've got to go there. The be authentic rubbish thing that we are often told, just be authentic. Let's talk about that, Emma.
Oh, okay, thank you, Emily. So I, like many people, will have noticed that there are definitely trends, definitely, there are certainly buzzwords within industries. And I do see authenticity or be authentic as something that is almost, and this is just my opinion and what I have observed across the industry. And this is not everybody, but this is occasion, you know, in occasional places, and you can normally spot it like a, stands out like a sore thumb, is that they people talk about authenticity as almost as part of a marketing strategy. Now, it's almost become cool to be authentic, but it's not the authenticity that we really, really mean. So it's a little bit like I saw a meme a while back that, and it said society, and then it's a society saying be yourself, and then beneath it says society says no, not like that. So do people really want to be ourselves? Say be authentic. What does it mean to be authentic? Really, is it still curated? Is it still carefully tweaked for our market? Are we still playing the game? Now I understand. I'm not saying that. Of course, there is most certainly a time and a place for careful marketing. I think that we have to be careful and take responsibility when talking about being authentic, because I honestly believe that the word is starting to lose its meaning, its true purposeful meaning.
Right. But yes, be authentic, it is indeed all over the place, and be your authentic self. And I'm not absolutely sure I know what that means, because people themselves don't know what that means, because they're trying to find themselves and they think they should look like a certain way and be a certain way. So is that their authentic self? And often many women, I'm talking about women, but people generally may not be happy with themselves in their normal state. So therefore this, I've used the word curated version of themselves, seems much more attractive. Unfortunately, it's a tough thing to hang on to, this curated self.
Well, I think the thing with this is that as with anything that isn't real, it takes a lot of upkeep and a lot of work to maintain.
Absolutely.
Especially in the public
Absolutely.
Eye. And I honestly believe that to run or to have a sustainable business and a sustainable life, public thing, because there is most certainly there are most certainly things that you need to have your private life, and that's not what I'm saying here. But what I am saying is the information that you're sharing with people, or personally for me, and again, I'm not perfect at this, but I'm just aware of how I'm delivering information or how people might be able to perceive it. I'm not perfect. There might be, I most certainly know from experience when I've gone live on Facebook, my inbox is always full. I always get messages after Facebook Lives, or if I'm talking about something, people wanting to know how I've done it or what I've done. And I'm careful about not pretending that it has fallen into my lap, or it was this way or it was that way. I really want to not mislead people into thinking that something is, in quote, easy, because it just isn't fair.
Yeah, I think because there is this feeling that you mustn't work, you know, working hard is what you do when you don't work for yourself. When you work for somebody else, you work hard, you strive, and all those sorts of things. And it's almost seen as a bad thing. So therefore, when you have your business, as I said, it's back to the thing, you know, I fall out of bed, I write a Facebook post, and all of a sudden money comes in. And in actual fact, there is work involved in crafting the Facebook post and in making sure you've got a stream of clients and doing the work to make sure that your clients are happy. So it isn't easy. Maybe it can be done with ease, but that's quite a different thing altogether. But I do think that there is this whole belief system, and I see it all over the place, that, you know, I can leave my 9 to 5 and I can just go and sit on the beach in Thailand and with my laptop and, hey, that's it, I'm making all this money. And I'm not saying people don't, but what I am saying is that it's not as straightforward as that.
Well, what I will say about that is, for anyone who runs a business, it's almost like a story out there, or a, you know, something that is being kind of believed, that you can have this laptop and you're going to do it, and you can work 4 hours a day and all of these different things. Now, to an extent, really and truly, I do have a laptop lifestyle, in the sense that I can pick my laptop up and I can go and work from anywhere. Do I do that? Probably not. I like to be out and about. Sure, there have been times where I've been away, I've been out of the country, and I've been able to take client calls in really nice settings. But that is the exception and not the rule for me. In case in point, there was a time, I think it was last year, I was in the Middle East, I was in Dubai, and I missed my flight back to the UK. And my friend just said to me, the friend I was staying with, she said, just stay for the rest of the week. So I was able, because I'm self-employed, because my business is run majority online, I could move those face-to-face meetings to Skype meetings. And it's really, really wonderful. So that really of being self-employed, that it was this point in my life. And I honestly still believe, so I was off earlier in this year in doing the whole thing, really, really enjoying myself. And I'm not against anybody sharing that, because it's completely individual what they do and don't. And in fact, that could be the part of they're doing and what they're doing, and more patterns. I have no criticism for that, but I just believe that there has to be a balance for what we are sharing. Otherwise, it just isn't believable.
Well, for me, I don't have a problem. I just want some honesty, because I said you know, so I don't mind where people are sitting with their laptop, but I just think, be honest that maybe you did put in a lot of hours beforehand to get to that stage. It wasn't, yeah. And you know, and that's what I'm saying, is there's a dishonesty about, again, it's curated, but I do think there's a dishonesty that some people see that and think, well, my business isn't like that, my life isn't like that. Oh my God, what's wrong with me?
Well, I think one of the things, I think the issue is, and I think I touched on this slightly earlier, was, is it that in the online space everybody is wearing a mask, and that nobody wants to be the first one to drop that mask? That is the question that I keep asking myself. It's a little bit like when you're at work, somebody, you know, you're having some kind of presentation, somebody's made the person who's delivering the presentation delivers some information that nobody understands, yet still nobody is willing to put their hand up. But the second somebody says, actually, can you explain, everybody is in agreement, no, we didn't understand. So does it take for somebody to kind of change the culture of how we are showing up in this space? Is that what is necessary?
Yes, I think it is, because some people are brutally honest about how they have got to where they are and say, you know.
But can I just put in a moment? Just one thing that I want to say is that I think there's a big difference between somebody who is now, in quotes, successful, who is willing to talk about how they got there, than somebody who is on their way and is still claiming to be at that level. Because we know that there's a process. And in that process, again, as I said earlier, the creative process will involve a lot of stumbling, a lot of failing, a lot of, you know, a lot of planned situations. Now, that is really, I don't want to say it's easy to package once you have the success, but I guess once you have that success story, and again, you know, glamorous to to share that Cinderella story. I started here and now I'm here. It's almost, you know, people use it as a form of credibility. Again, it isn't necessarily a criticism. It's just an observation that I'm making. But I'm, again, very aware myself. If you've ever seen anything that I've written or anything I talk about, I do talk about the fact that I worked part-time at a supermarket while I was studying, and that I ended up on the design team at a luxury fashion brand. Now, I have to, anyone who knows me knows what it took for me to make that transition from there to there. But those that don't know me could easily think that it was just, you know, back partying and traveling and going to shows and all those different things. But the reality is that it wasn't that way. But I can share that now because I'm here.
I hear that. I suppose I just, as I said, for me, it's just about, I think, some honesty from people that I think sometimes is missing. Just that, whether it's not such the Cinderella story, but just the fact that the secret to the whatever it is that you're seeking in your business or in your life may not just be a couple of steps. And he said, yes, the falling down, the getting back up again, the setbacks, all of that stuff needs to be talked about. That, you know, maybe not talked about in great detail, but that you will have setbacks. Things may not go well, but
I almost think, Beverly, that it could also not be discussed because people think, well, you must know that there are downfalls. And I think that it's almost, yes, I know it's quite funny, but it's almost, it's covered over and not spoken about. And I'm not altogether sure if it's always deliberate, but it's just that we are, especially online, we are wired and geared to roll out the showreel, roll out that showreel. Because that is what quite often that many people are interested in. However, the flip side, and this is what I honestly believe, is that we're all responsibility for creating culture, change, new ways of working. And I think that personally, I feel that I have a responsibility to myself and also, again, to the women that I work with to be a little bit transparent, because I've only been able to do what I'm doing. So starting from the shop floor, going and working at, you know, within luxury fashion and now running my business, because I was willing to fail, because I was willing to kind of step back from having all, you know, making sacrifices. And again, that's something that a lot of people don't talk about, the sacrifice, because they're sacrificing in business. The sacrifices that I'd have to make. So, you know, even as a woman approaching, you know, at the beginning of my business, approaching, you know, in my early 30s to mid 30s, at a point where people were starting to, friends and, you know, acquaintances and my peers were buying houses, but I was kind of really stepping back from that so that I could afford to run a business. Who's talking about that? Who is talking about that? Because I missed it. If they are talking about it, I missed it.
Oh yeah, but as I said, it comes back to this case of people are selective in what they will or won't admit, because whether it's a Cinderella story, whether it fit the showreel, but whether it fits the narrative that they've created.
Mm. Mm. Well, for me, the reason why I have to run my business this way is that I almost made a promise to myself after working and kind of. As with anyone who is working within a corporate or with it, you know, that has a boss, you are essentially, whether you enjoy your job or not, and this has no bearing or criticism on anything or anyone, but you're essentially, you are dancing to somebody else's tune. Now, mm-hmm. getting out of that and starting my own business, in the very early stages, I was setting myself impossible tasks. I was doing really, really things in my business until I got to a point and wondered why I was stressed. And it was actually a conversation with my mum where she said to me, where is the stress coming from? You don't have a boss. And that was what made me realize that I was just almost in the process of creating another version of my 9-to-5, you know, existence. And I have to kind of snap out of that and really think about how I wanted to run my business, how I wanted to show up online, how I wanted to engage with my community, and kind of, again, inject more of me, my voice, rather than Coach Emma. Because essentially, the women who work with me, the women who are in my community, the women who are within my network, they want me. They want me with my quirks. They want all of that, because me being me and me being honest about who I am allows them to be who they are. And that connection, you can't buy that connection. You create that connection by being completely, radically yourself.
Okay. It seems very nice into me asking you. Tell me about how people can find you and get to work with you, and about, you know, the work that you do.
Okay, so I work from my Facebook group, which is a group, a community of women, and the group is called Smart Women Entrepreneurs Start. So a lot of what I talk about is just starting where you are and just getting going and not overthinking what it is that you're doing. So if anybody, if women are listening to this, because it is a community for women, if you are at a stage in your career where you are thinking about your what next, if you are at the early stage of a business and you are tripping up, you're tripping yourself up, if you are at a stage, if you know that you're having perfectionist tendencies or finding yourself in this comparison trap, this is definitely the group for you. This is, come along, join us.
Okay, name the group again, please, Emma.
So the group is called Smart Women Entrepreneurs Start.
Okay, well, I know I've got the link, so I'll be posting that when we post the replay. And what sort of work do you do?
So I do a number of things. So I work a lot one-to-one with women. And I don't currently have a program. And I honestly believe at this stage, I'm not altogether sure if I would have at this stage a coaching program and if it is quite right for me or my clients. A lot of the women that come to me aren't quite sure what it is that they want to do. And they're coming because they want clarity. And in having that clarity, then they have confidence, which then enables us to create the plan or a plan of action of what they want to go ahead.
Okay.
A couple of visibility mass factors. How you can use Facebook Live and have a presence. And it's not necessarily about getting a million likes or a million follows or anything like that, but it's really about, again, about pressing live, going live, and being able to accept your quirks, your voice, the way that you deliver, in a way whereby you're not stopping yourself from being visible. So that is what you would, as well as the technical side of going live, I would support those women in these groups to show up as they are.
Okay, thank you. Anything else you want to add?
I think that is it. I think we have covered quite a bit, haven't we?
Oh yes. Do you have a couple of tips, or steps that women could perhaps take, apart from joining your group, as regards to visibility and that radical self-acceptance that they could take away from this call?
Well, in terms of visibility, the one thing that I will say is, especially if you are somebody who is wanting to work with clients or at some point wanting to work face-to-face, do yourself a favor and be who you are online. Be as honest as you can about who you are, because when they then meet you, you do not want them to think, who is this person? Take the pressure off yourself and just be who you are. You can't be for everyone. You're not going to be for everyone, but that doesn't matter. As you figure out who is, you know, what tribe you're part of or what tribe you're not going to be part of, it makes it easier. It makes it easier to attract the types of, you know, whether it's the support, the clients. Be yourself. Be really true to who you are.
I think that's great advice, regardless of whether or not you're getting into business or whether you're going to stay in the corporate world, about being ourselves. Because I can't remember the phrase, but, you know, be yourself because everybody else is taken, I think was the quote.
Yeah.
But I think there's some importance in that. And being happy with who you are, because I think that's the other thing. It's not just about acceptance. It's about being happy with the body, the shape, what you look like.
Well, the thing is that the reality is, if I can't at the, you know, the if I can't at 35 accept who I am, there are days, you know, there are days where my hair looks better than other days. There are days where outfits look better than other days. But, you know, these moments pass. Essentially, at the core of me, I know I'm fine. I know I'm fine. And in me knowing that I'm fine, it enables me to interact with people, whether that is personally or professionally. It improves the way that I show up, or it improves the way that I interact with people. Because, you know, everybody has an opinion about something, and everyone we meet will have an opinion about us. But if you already have a strong sense of self, you'll never really take it to heart when you're feeling that people might not like you or like elements of who you are, because you're fine with yourself.
I think I think it's important to remember that you're to be fine with yourself, and the fact that sometimes people might not like you, not for another reason, but because, you know, and it has nothing to do with you. So therefore, if you're happy with yourself, what's going on over there isn't really that important, and often isn't actually that relevant.
Well, I honestly believe that when you are living your life, when you're living a full life and you are enjoying what it is you're doing, you probably won't have that much time to be having a look at what other people are doing. And so if you're in a space where you're critical and you're judging, it's probably because you are not doing something yourself. Mm-hmm. I know I'm in the thick of my business, doing all the things that I want to be doing. I don't have time to be critical and to be, you know, second guessing and all those different types of things that we do. But I think when you do get out of alignment and you start feeling bad about yourself, you start looking at other people, and it isn't healthy.
I think that's a conversation for another day. But
I think it is as well.
I want to thank you, Emma, because it's been a really lively and helpful conversation, and I just think you've given us plenty to think about, plenty to take away, especially around the radical self-acceptance. And as you said, getting busy in your own business or whatever it is you're doing, that you don't really have time to get too caught up in what's happening, as I call it, over there. And being aware of the fact that we do live in a curated world. Your life may not be curated, but others are curating it around you. So just have an awareness of what you may be looking at may not be real or as real as you think it is. I'm not saying it's not real, but it may not just be as real as you believe it to be. And the masks, well, again, I think it's a conversation for another time, but I just think about that, getting comfortable with who you are. And I think if you can do that, maybe you might inspire others to get comfortable with who they are, because we all have to start somewhere. But it's been a really lively and exciting, I'm sorry, I'm going to cough, excuse me, an interesting conversation tonight, Em, and I just want to thank you.
Oh, it's been absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
And thank you for coming on. And I just want to say to everybody, please listen to this again if you get a chance, and, you know, catch the replay. I'm Beverly Bramwell, and you've been listening to Embrace Your Ambition. I will post the link to Emma's group, which you can mention again. Emma, please.
So my group is Smart Women Entrepreneurs Start. And can I just also add, my Facebook page is Start Where You Are by Emma Case. Come over to my page, Start Where You Are by Emma Case.
Marvelous. My page is called Beverly Bramwell, just like my name. And I also have a group called Embrace Your Ambition. So do, if you'd like to pop in after the show, please come along and join, and we can have a conversation. But it has been fabulous, I have to say that. for me, and I hope you've enjoyed it too, Emma.
I have. It's been wonderful. Thank you so much, Beverly.
And that's another episode of Embrace Your Ambition. So without further ado, I'm going to go to music and then we'll be done. Thanks again for listening and goodbye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.